Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky. I entitled tonight's Dvar Torah, Climb Every Mountain. There seems to be a lot of mountains in Judaism, and they're there for a reason. They're not just happenstance, and there's a message there, as there is with everything. The parasha begins this week, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom. There's an interesting thought process, is that Moshe at this point in time, when he says Re'eh, to take a look, that he's actually on some level showing them something. In other words, sometimes I could say, don't you see? And it's a thought process you're not really expected to see. But those who want to, some Mefarshim who want to say that Moshe actually showed them like a graph of some sort, or maybe visualized to them, they were able to see a hologram of sorts on what they could have if they followed the Torah, so that they get a visualization and better understanding. But the point is, we move right in, and as I mentioned last week, it says by V'hoya Ekev Tishmiun, and last week, Sedra, it says just Hamishpotim O'Ela. And very simply, in this week's parasha, we move ahead, and I made a point of last week, Mishpatim are usually the mitzvos that we understand, they more readily make sense to us, they're civil laws, or basically things that make a lot of sense to us that we understand why we are told to do it. And chukim are on the next level. Chukim are things that we don't understand and God has not given us any reason, even though we are not really given reasons for any of the mitzvos except for two that we will read in next week's parasha. But the fact remains that generally speaking, they make sense on some level. They're not hard to perform, but it's easier to do something when you understand it. But the point is, to get to that level, we have to take steps. We have to start beginning the climb from doing the mitzvos that are mishpatim, and now we move on to this week's sedra, when it says, when God makes a point of saying in this week's sedra, that es hachukim v'es hamishpatim asher tishmerun lasos eila hachukim v'mishpatim. These are the chukim and the mishpatim. If you do the mishpatim as you were told, then you could move on to the next level of doing the chukim. And that is why at this point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them at this point in time, v'notzatos habracha al hagrizim v'es hakala al harevol. What is the point, necessarily speaking, since in this week's parasha, we're not even mentioning the brachos and the klolos. We don't even mention them. It's interesting because it's not till parashas Kisavo in a few weeks when we are actually delineating the brachos and the klolos. But what is the Gemara? I believe in Sota, it discusses on what the configuration was, be the logistics of six tribes going on one mountain and six tribes going on the other mountain, and the Levium standing in between. What is the point of climbing up on a mountain for six to do the get the brachos and six to do the klolos, and the Levium standing in the middle in the valley between the mountains and calling out to each of them? They could have just all congregated and just basically told them, as he did before, after Matan Torah, they sat around and they, for months and for 40 years, they've been going through the whole formula of going through one mitzvah after the other for Moshe Rabbeinu, teaching them one at a time as need be. And now he's telling them something that's very interesting, and now he's telling them to stand on Har Eval and stand on Har Gerizim, and it's really very strange. But the interesting thing about Judaism, what Moshe is sending a message over here, and the message is a very simple one. We can't be wishy-washy. Judaism is literally not a democracy. It's not as if you can climb half the mountain and say, I choose to raise myself to this level and I will do certain mitzvos, or I will do certain averos and I'll do tshuva. We get a little wishy-washy sometimes. We begin the climb and then we stop halfway up. The fact is that Judaism, Moshe is telling them, if you want the brachos, you have to climb the mountain and reach the top. You have to get to the brachos, you can't get halfway. If you're going to get the klolos, you're going all the way. There is no halfway measures in Judaism. You're either on one side or the other. Half of the Jews, six tribes are one. It's not to say that these tribes get the brachos and these tribes get the klolos. But the fact remains that he just wants you to say, which side are you on? Judaism is about taking sides. We get, my father taught me so many times when I'm speaking to other people, where we can bend and where we have to draw the line in the sand. And too many times we make pshuros and we cross the line. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. If you want to be a righteous Jew, if you want to do what's right, to get the brachos that we are able to get, what God is making available to us, then we have to climb the mountain. It's not going part of the way up. We have to get to the top. And that's what we see throughout. We take a look from various mountains. When Abraham had to make the trip to Har HaMoriah for the Akedah, he had to ascend the Akedah to do that mitzvah. Moshe and Aaron both climbed the mountain for them at the end of their life. Aaron climbed the mountain Har HaHor, and that's where he died. Moshe climbed the mountain by Har Paran. He climbed the mountain, and that's where he passed away. In other words, the symbolism there is they didn't necessarily, what was the point of them climbing a mountain? The point is they climbed the mountain to the top, and they ended their life on top of the mountain. And that's what we're looking to do. Sometimes we start to climb and we falter. If we go back to Parashas Vayetze, when it says, Vayachalom v'inei sulam mutzav arza, and he said, v'inei malachei elokim olim v'yardim bo, Yaakov saw in his dream the malachim going up and down, and we talk about what was the significance, the symbolism of that dream. We interpret it as the Dalet Malchios, but Yaakov at that point in time, it's been pointed out, as I mentioned before, misinterpreted the dream. He was saying the fact that he thought that Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yardim Bo, that the ones, if you climb the mountain, if you attempt to push the envelope to go reach too high, then you will get knocked down. Of course, what God was telling him, make the attempt. I won't push you down. If you go to the top of the mountain, if you ascend the mountain, you put all things aside and don't do halfway measures for everything that you do, I will let you remain. The other nations will go up and they will get knocked down because they don't have the same thing. And that is what we're getting in the parasha over here. And that's why at the end of in Vayechi, when Yaakov gives his brachas to the son, when he says, Hey, Asfuv Yagido Lachem, Eis Hasher Yikro Aschem Yachris Hayamim, gather round. I want to tell you what will be, because he realized at that time the mistake that he made when he talked to his sons, that he was always telling them when they ripped up Shechem, when they, you know, he said that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Abraham never faltered. In other words, he was not afraid of commitment. He went to save Lot. He didn't care what would happen to him. He was always going out there facing life. Yaakov was always looking for terutz and looking for ways out, not to always to avoid confrontation. Abraham was always staring confrontation in the face. He never once wavered. And that is why we say Mogen Abraham. The Shmoneh Esrei focuses on, even though we say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we focus on Abraham because he was the one who literally began the climb and he ended the climb. And he did it successfully. Moshe and Aaron reached the pinnacle of success in terms of they died on the mountaintop. They finished the climb. And God is telling us now, he's elucidating all of the mitzvos that are difficult to perform. And of course, we see in the parsha today, one of the interesting things is the laws of kashrus. We don't quite understand it because if it would seem to be on one level, if we would think it to be a health issue, then we see, of course, the other nations of the world, all non-Jews, who are able to eat the non-kosher food, they could live long and happy lives, so it's not a kashrus issue. It's because God says, V'yosisa ha-tov v'yoshar. We notice certain times in the parasha, two times when it says, V'yosisa ha-tov v'yoshar b'yenei Hashem, it's when things that are common to everybody to do the righteous thing to do. But when it's talking about kashrus, it's v'osisa hatova yosher b'yenei Hashem Elokecha. These are the things that are meant for just Jews. And what do I mean by that? And the Abarbanel gives an example. For instance, if two people were to come to the doctor, and one, the doctor says, you, I could help, and the other person, I'm sorry, you're too far gone, and there's nothing I could really do for you. And the person says to the one who he could help, he says, you can get better, but I'm going to give you a diet, and you can only eat these foods. And the other person, he represents the Umos HaOlam. He says, you could eat whatever you want because nothing can help you anymore. You're too far gone. And God is saying over here to the Jews, you have the ability to lead a very successful life, but you're going to have to obey certain laws. You will have to be on a diet, not just on a diet of food, but on a diet of self-control among so many things. And when we get to the pasuk, which gives us an insight to what God is talking about when he says, Ki archiv Hashem Elokecha eskevulcha, is telling us very simple that people, as at a certain point in time when the population grows and you get further away from Yerushalayim and I expand your borders, it's an unbelievable thought process. We could expand our borders, and we see that since the Six-Day War, after the Six-Day War, we expanded our borders from 48, and then we lost some, whatever the reasons are. But nevertheless, we have the ability to expand our borders, that God will give us an expansion, but we have to follow the rules. And what is the point of when we're living so far away, God says, but the only way for you to stay in touch, I'm giving you Shalosh Regalim. You notice in this week's Parsha, this is the reason why we're discussing Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Emor, it mentions as well Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres, but this Parsha does not get into those other Yom Tovim because it's not the issue at hand. God says, I want to see you three times a year. You have to show your face and march up the mountaintop to Har HaBayis. You have to climb that mountain to be seen three times a year to be together with your brethren. And what is the symbolism of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos and the amount of days that we do it? When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took with them ugos, matzos, kilo, chametz. They ate the matzah. How long were they able to eat the matzah that they looked from them till Mitzrayim? Until the Kriyas Yamsuf, where that was 7 days. On day number seven, they ate the matzah until they crossed the Yamsuf and were able to acquire new food. And that's why Pesach is 7 days. The second Yontif after that is Shavuos. Shavuos, we only celebrate one day because that is to symbolize Matan Torah. Matan Torah took place. Har Sinai was a one-day affair when God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even though they stayed at mountainside for a long time. Nevertheless, Matan Torah was one day, and therefore Shavuos is one day. Sukkot, on the other hand, is all the Shivas Aminim that we celebrate when we bring in the harvest in Sukkot time. We celebrate Eretz Chitov, Sorov, Egefen, Seinov, Rimon, Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, Udavash. It is for the Shiva Saminim, the seven things that we're blessing. And in reference to those Shiva Saminim, we have 7 days of Sukkot. And for those 3 days a year, those three Yom Tovim, we celebrate three times a year. Too much is too much, and too little is also. So three times I need to see you to bond with your brethren, that we could all congregate together, because if Ki Archiv, you see the parasha follows a series of intuitive, the way it's broken down, Ki Archiv Hashem Elokecha Eskevulcha Kasher Diber Loch, and V'yomarto Ochlo Bosor B'chol Avas Nafshecha Tochal Bosor, I'm giving you the right to eat as much meat as you want, but the fact is, I would rather you would eat, be a vegan, but the fact remains, since, unfortunately, after the Mabul, this situation became where you are going to eat meat. It's not the healthiest thing in the world, obviously, but nevertheless, I will let you eat. But as long as you don't eat just for the sake of eating, it has to be b'chol avas nafshecha. What does b'chol havas nafshecha doesn't mean to your heart's content, but what the symbolism of to your heart's content is that it's you need it for your nefesh, you need it to survive. If you eat to live is what the Torah is trying to tell you, not to live to eat, as we have these platitudes that we learn when we go on a diet. And that's what it means, b'chol havas nafshecha, to eat to live. And as much as your soul needs, that is what your intake should be limited to. And that's why we do it three times a year. Now, at the what point in time, and that's why when they were doing, when they were in the Midbar, God sent us, we're going into the land of Israel. And what is telling us now that we're going into the land of Israel for what purpose? Very simple. We're going into the land of for the land to settle, and you'll finally have a resting place. And that's what it says in the beginning of the parasha. You're going there and you'll finally be able to sit down and know that this is where you're going to make your home. The fact is, and so we may ask ourselves, they wandered for 40 years in the Midbar. If once God told them they would be in the Midbar for 40 years at the Chet Egel, what was the point going from one place to the next? They could have just as easily stayed in one area or just made a couple of places. Why 42 masos to keep packing up and moving, even though some of the places, we say at the beginning of the farm, that one of the places they were there for 19 years, but in general, they never knew in advance if they were going to have to pack their suitcase. You know, when we go on vacation and we take a road trip and it's much more relaxing to be in one hotel for a few days than it's maybe exciting to move from one place to the next. But packing, unpacking makes it a little more unsettling, certainly. It's much more relaxing. And God needed them because he saw that they have this as Jews. We have this wanderlust. And that wanderlust, and that's why we are so many Jews all over, not so many Jews, but the Jews that are alive are in almost every country in the world. There is a Jewish population almost everywhere. And that is because we're never satisfied with where we are. We keep looking for new lands that maybe is better. But now finally we see that the Jewish population is beginning to, there is the kibbutz golios on a very slow process, though it is, but nevertheless, certainly in the last couple of years, the amount of aliyah has risen to a tremendous amount, whether it's because of COVID or people are finally coming to their senses that the only place that they could feel safe, believe it or not, is in the land of Israel. That's why at least half the population, Jewish population in the world is now living in Israel. And that this is why God kept us moving. He wanted for the people that were moving, how do you feel now? Once you cross the border, you will be able to unpack and remain. After you conquer the land, this is the place where you will bring up and make your roots and stay so you can appreciate it. And when you work hard for something, when you have the milchama, if God just gives it to you and he needed to establish a situation where they would, if it's hard to get and you work hard to achieve something, you're more likely to hold on to it. As we know, easy come, easy go. And if they were going to, as they would, have to fight for the land for 7 years and settle it for the next few years, that they would be more willing to keep the land. And God knows that they wanted to keep them moving in the Midbar so that they would reach the point where they would appreciate it more and be willing to climb those mountains that we've been talking about so many times. We have to always remember that when God put us here, he's asking us to make the attempt to climb the mountain, put our affairs in order, and say, we will start that climb. It's one step at a time. And every year as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, all we ask is, not we personally, obviously, but all that Hashem wants us to improve on a yearly basis. We can't just turn over a new leaf and change everything. But if we pick one thing to make it better than the year before, that is what we have as long as we stick to it. And that is what God is asking us. And I hope that it takes care of course, there's the part of the other things that I said are all the things that are the difficult laws, especially we come upon Irini Dachas, is something that we don't understand. Imagine if more than 50% of a town is living through the times where they begin to worship Avodah Zorah. What is Avodah Zorah or Meis HaNoviah, who, if we God is testing us by giving us a Navi Sheker, imagine Uvoho Osva Hamo Face, that somebody makes prediction and it comes true. And it's not to say there's a difference of opinion that this person won't be able to actually perform magic feats, but sometimes we think people have an insight to the future and they make a prediction and lo and behold, it actually comes true the way he predicted. But of course, that could always happen. Any of us could make a prediction and it might come true. And if we do, the fact remains, it's the test, ki menaseh Hashem, who is God testing? And is the machlokus over here, is God testing the people who are believing in this person, this false prophet, or is God testing the prophet? Because sometimes, even if he's a false prophet, and at the beginning he knows, but when he begins to make predictions and they start to come true just by luck, he begins to believe in himself. And we see that with many people. So, ki menaseh Hashem eschem, God is testing the Navi himself as well to see that you made some predictions. Are they coming true or not? And if they do, don't think too much of yourself. You didn't perform anything. Uvaha osva hamo face. It means you didn't do anything. It happened. Certain things happen. If you predict an eclipse because you're a science major and you were able to know when it'll happen, and people say, wow, look at that. But the fact remains, it's all scientific. God put the world in its orbit, and things happen on a natural basis. So sometimes we fall prey to people who make predictions, and we think they have some power. But sometimes it's a 50-50 chance, and sometimes it's just pure luck that something happens, and we have to know. And that's why the only way we could root this out is when the people who begin to believe in these people, the Zokei Mamre is certainly put to death, but if the whole town follows certain people and they begin to all worship Avodah Zorah, not all, but even more than half, then the town has to be razed to the ground. And we think of innocent people living in the town, perhaps, but the fact remains, this is another thing that we have to be aware of. If you're living in a place like Sodom, and there could be many people who are righteous people, but then if they are so righteous, it's time for them to pull up stakes. And that's another lesson for us. God wants us all eventually to make that trip to Eretz Yisrael. Where we are is in all the other, we're very comfortable living in various countries of the world, but ki yirchak mimcha hamokom, you are ki yarchiv es gvucha, we are spread out all over the world, but I need you to show your face. I want to see you a minimum of 3 times a year so that you could see all the miracles in Yerushalayim and get your feet on the ground and understand where your roots are. Your roots are the Beis HaMikdash. Your roots are the Judaism in Yerushalayim. When we get off that plane, when we visit, it's a different feeling. I think we all understand that. When we visit and we finally have to go home, there's a certain feeling of loss when we leave. Those of us who live there understand that. Those of us who live in Chutz La'aretz, the quicker we come to that conclusion, the faster the Gula Shalema will come. Have a good evening and have a wonderful week. Thank you very much.